You can watch us stream live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you on this hot Friday here in Nashville. Max Herz manning things at the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Richard Deitch from The Athletic. I haven't chatted with Richard in a bit, and he's still doing the Twitter cleanse. And yesterday, he didn't have to worry about Arch Manning signing with Texas as the internet exploded. Richard just sat back and just did whatever he was doing yesterday and not worried about, you know, Twitter blowing up over where Arch Manning has decided to play college football. Richard, how we doing?
I grew up in New York. What is an Arch Manning?
What is an Arch Manning?
Is that a building like related to the famous building in Paris? Or is it something different about it?
No, I'm going to St. Louis next week. It's in St. Louis. It's downtown. It's called the Arch Manning. No, he's kind of a big
nice.
Deal.
I hope, would love to say, yeah, I mean, obviously I know who Arch Manning is. this is, again, I have great respect for college football. Obviously, I know what station I'm talking to. So I know how important it is for you guys. But, like, I think I've told you this, you guys, this many times. Like, your how you approach college football, I think, is very different if you grew up in a place as I did, where it doesn't have deep college football tradition and is very much a pro town. So while, trust me, I get, like, people are so into college recruiting, and obviously this guy, or this kid, I should say, has a chance to be, you know, maybe the best college quarterback out there. I'm still removed from it because I just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't brought up in that kind of environment, so it's still, I feel like an outsider when it comes to all this kind of stuff.
We had a fun conversation, Richard, with Ryan McGee yesterday, who's always, you know, always cracks us up when he comes on. And he was at the College World Series, and we were literally just talking about, like, okay, in 2025, like, this matchup, now that we know Ole Miss, it was either going to be Ole Miss or Arkansas, so we knew it was going to be a current SEC team. And we're like, you know, if it was this matchup in 2025, it will be all SEC national championship game, and just what the rest of the country, you know, loves to hear or is craving. So to your point, the reason I bring that up is probably this merger of Oklahoma and Texas is not going to help the interest level outside of, you know, the South and SEC country, SEC land, you know, for the rest of the country to get on board with it, because it's just going to increase their dominance, don't you think?
Well, so here's the thing on that. You know, Alabama historically has drawn the most viewership nationally, even though they're obviously an SEC team and even though they're obviously based in the South. So I think there are some teams that sort of have become national teams and superseded. You know, I have, writing about this stuff for a long time, Alabama, Ohio State are really like 1-1A when it comes to viewership kind of nationally. And then you have Michigan's and Notre Dame's and, you know, a team might pop up like a Clemson or something like that because they have a star quarterback. Penn State obviously does well. So the reality is if these teams have players that are going to be household names in the NFL, I do think those teams would attract viewership away from the traditional SEC. I think where it gets to be SEC fatigue, by the way, just probably the same thing like it is in every sport if you have the same team that's there every year, is when we see like Alabama, Clemson, you know, like three times in the national championship game. Lastly, Texas is like always a wild card here because they have a gigantic alumni base. They're in obviously a very, very populous state. They should be a power in essentially every sport. If you've ever been to the University of Texas, like the campus is incredible. And like, so that to me is always a wild card in terms of like interest, and that if they could ever get good, like the way they were, you know, back in the 70s, that's kind of, they're interesting to me. That's an interesting potential viewership team because I think they do have alumni in different parts of the country.
What else is interesting to me is, and we were kind of talking something we don't talk about much on the show just because I purchased new irons for the first time in like 2 decades. Yesterday we were talking a little bit about golf and we're trying to see if that's going to help our enthusiasm for it. Look, it still gets good ratings in this market. And right now, they're kind of on top of everybody's mind. There's kind of big news. What's interesting is all these, like, leagues that are trying to compete against the leagues that have been in place for a long time, right? So you have the USFL back again this year. We can get your thoughts on that. And now you've got this LIV that's trying to compete with the PGA, and it's creating all kinds of a mess there. Now, obviously, they've got deep pockets behind it, but will it work? Typically, Richard, as we know, none of these work. So I wonder why we keep having all these startup leagues. We've kind of been in that window the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I think the reason it happens is because I think there's a lot of wealthy people who want to be in sports, just to be blunt. Like, you know, I used to, like, hear this kind of phrase. It's so, like, accurate. Like, there's, like, you know, there's 100, you know, there's 500 people who are who have as much money as the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, right, Jerry Jones. But Jerry Jones walks down the street, you know who Jerry Jones is. Why? Because he owns the Dallas Cowboys. So a lot of these wealthy people really want to be in sports because it's very sexy and it's exciting and, you know, it gives you a little bit of cachet. So I think that's where, and this, by the way, extends to companies, and that's why you see, like, you know, the continuization of people trying to make spring football happen, whether it's Vince McMahon or now in this case Fox. I'm not a believer in the USFL. You know, I see the spin out there on viewership, but the numbers have been going down the last couple of weeks. I don't see it working long term. If I'm wrong, I certainly don't. LIV is a little bit different to me because, one, the Saudis have, like, unlimited money. Like, there's one thing to be wealthy. There's another thing to be unlimited. They have unlimited. Two, it's very clear that the golfers who've joined them don't give a bleep about human rights violations or the history of the Saudis. And again, almost every league, by the way, has, you know, connections with some bad people, for lack of a better word, a bad country. So I'm not trying to be a hypocrite here, but that's just a reality. Like, many of these golfers have just basically made it a point, we don't care. So that, to me, at least indicates, all right, maybe there's more coming. And then third, they have a pretty good base of people already. Again, the PGA Tour still has more well-known and great golfers. It has history, but this is a pretty interesting start for me. They're not going to get any kind of linear coverage on television this year because I don't think anybody would touch them, and certainly not the people who have rights deals with the PGA. But I think I'd give that one a shot if the Saudis are willing to just basically spend money, don't care about a profit, and eventually some of these guys just, you know, they hear from their fellow golfers, hey, I just made $100 million this year, and, you know, and then win a tournament. I think that's going to be hard for a lot of these guys to turn down. Lastly, I can't believe I'm talking about golf because I really don't even like the sport, ironically enough. The majors, to me, is the big one here. That, to me, is like they hold the cards because, like, I feel like if you're Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, they don't seem too old, those two dudes. Like, to me, if you can't play in the Masters or you can't play at the British Open, like, that feels like something that really would, you'd have to make a choice, right? Like, I'm either taking the money or I can't play in these historic events. If these majors, which own, you know, basically, I guess, control their own rules, if they keep letting these guys in, I think it's, I don't know how you guys see it, it's just such a less downside for these golfers, right? I mean, all right, so what? You can't play, like, you know, you can't play Toronto in June or something like that? Like, that's not a big loss. The loss would be, like, I'm never allowed to play Augusta again. That feels like a loss to me.
We're talking to Richard Deitch from The Athletic, the media circus, always has a great media column. Richard, you had a really good interview with Emily Kaplan. You also had a good chat with Jimmy Patero, who is, for lack of a better term, the boss at ESPN. I'm curious, you're probably not watching ESPN's coverage as much as you normally would. You're up in Canada, you probably get the Sportsnet more there. But I'm curious what your overall evaluation is for ESPN's coverage, especially compared to TNT.
Now, let me give you guys a little education. I am absolutely watching ABC's coverage of the NHL. You know, one, I have to, obviously, for the job. But two, one of the great things about living where I live in Toronto is that I get Buffalo and Seattle's local stations. I see more U.S. TV than you might think. And then on top of that, I'm paying an absurd amount of money for all these extras that I can get. So I'm pretty much getting almost everything I'd get in New York, with the exception of, I'll tell you, the hardest thing to get here is TNT. Hmm. I mean, you know, if the FCC hears this, they can find me, but I have to essentially let's say use means that may or may not be legal to get TNT. So let's leave it
creativity.
At that. Creativity. Thank you. I'm going to use that. I'll steal that. I think Turner's presentation, game presentation, was excellent. It actually reminded me of hockey up here, just in terms of the angles that they used, the clarity of like imaging, graphics. I thought they did a pretty good job. That's not to say ESPN did. I just thought Turner's game presentation was really good. In terms of ESPN, I mean, I think they had a lot of positives. The game presentation, from what I saw, you know, was really, really good. It didn't seem very off from NBC Sports. I like Emily Kaplan, and I think that was a really good use of her. I personally find her better than Pierre McGuire. I love Ray Ferraro. I think he's a great game analyst. McDonough as a game caller, well, I have so much respect for that guy as a broadcaster. He's not Mike Emmerich. You know what I mean? He's not Bob Cole. He doesn't necessarily speak or feel hockey to me. And maybe that's a little unfair by me to say that, but I think Kenny Albert feels more hockey to me, who obviously was doing it for Turner. So I thought both networks had a decent debut. I'd probably give them a B or so. I think some of the studio show people worked and then some didn't. But so much of that studio show stuff is really just if you like the person. Like if you like Messier, like you probably like the ESPN's coverage. If you like Paul Bissonnette, you probably like Turner's coverage. If you like dislike Tockett, or if you dislike Wayne Gretzky, then you're not gonna like those respective coverages. I do think Turner, lastly on there, at least from what I saw in the studio, I liked, they're just very free flowing. They make fun of themselves. They try to incorporate some of the inside the NBA stuff, and I really like that because I think hockey's very conservative and stiff many times when it comes to television production. So I like when you can see more of the personality.
I think you made an interesting point on Sean McDonough. To me, that was an interesting choice because he's a great announcer. I think we would all, I mean, he's done World Series. He's done it all for sure. He hadn't done hockey in a long time. So to ask him to be the number one guy the first year, I thought that was just a lot to ask for him. So I do think it's kind of showing on the biggest stage here, with all due respect to him. And I think he'll probably get better over time.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's unfair to McDonough for me to make this comparison, but like it's the comparison I sort of have to make because it's sort of out there. Mike Emmerich did Frantic so well. Like hockey, and you know this, hockey is a sport where so much action is fast and so much stuff happens in like literal seconds. And I think you need an announcer, and maybe it's sort of just an intricate feel for hockey, but you need an announcer who's basically go, 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 go almost all the time because that's what hockey is. And I think the best hockey announcers around the country do that. When I lived in Buffalo, there was a guy named Rick Jenneret. He's a very famous Buffalo announcer. He was unbelievable when it came to like action close in. And again, I hear these great, or I've heard all these great Canadian announcers for a long time, including now a guy who does it for Sportsnet, Chris Cuthbert. And they really just have an intrinsic feel for hockey and the pace of the game. And McDonough, to me, while he's certainly giving a professional, competent job, it's just a tick off. It's just different. Maybe it's different next year if he has another year, but it feels different to me. And again, that's purely purely just my take. It's so subjective. It's not objective. But when I listen to him, and having listened to a lot of hockey broadcasters before, he just sounds a little different to me. He sounds a little slow.
Yeah, we're very familiar with Jenneret because every time the Predators went on the road this year, it was basically a team that was recognizing somebody, and the start time was going to be 20, 25 minutes later. And that was their game in Buffalo this year, their one game in Buffalo.
They had the salute to Rick Jenneret, and that was the best atmosphere in years at Buffalo, and they played out of their mind. They played a great game. It was a special night for sure. Hey,
yeah,
Richard, before we let you go.
Yeah, go on.
Just real quick. You know, we've got an MLS team here now. I was curious to your thoughts on the league's move with this Apple TV package here. It's very unique. I don't think I've ever seen a league do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. MLS made a ton of money, much more money than they would have gotten from everywhere else. And now they're taking everything, obviously, behind the Apple paywall. Their gamble is that they weren't growing on linear TV, so we might as well really do something radical and do something different and we're going to make the presentation and the availability so great that you have to, you know, subscribe and pay the money to Apple to watch our product. It's an interesting gamble that, again, could work both ways. Maybe they grow the game. Maybe they get some more people internationally into MLF. At the same time, they really do run the risk of not getting any more people to take in the product, because it's going to be far less available for those who, you know, who have cable or for those who have regular TV. But, you know, MLS was in a tricky spot. They're not the NFL. They're not the NBA. You know, they may be the 7th, 8th, and 9th best league in the world, and they weren't getting big money from the ESPNs and Foxes. So this was their shot for owners to get paid. It's going to be an interesting experiment. I don't know how it's going to work out for them. I do know, though, the larger story is that Apple's definitely signaling that they're in the game when it comes to sports. So watch when the NBA comes up. I think they're going to be a major player to bid for NBA rights.
Richard, good stuff as always. Appreciate the visit. You have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right. I'm off to watch Arch Manning videos. See you.
Yes. Get caught up on Arch. Richard Deitch from The Athletic. He's still on a Twitter cleanse. Has not tweeted since February of 2022. We'll come back. Some things to discuss on the other side here on the DDC 102.5, 106.3 The Game, and The Game Nashville app.